All right. Do I get to pretend to be Jerry?
You're Jerry. Hey,
everybody. Welcome to the podcast.
We have officially named this podcast. It's number 23. It is the Jerry Free 23 podcast. I mean, how awesome is that?
Let's enjoy the silence for a moment.
That even tops the double deuce of last podcast.
This is our present to all the listeners out
all
there.
All the faithful listeners that have made it this far.
It's an early Christmas present for everybody.
Yes, we wanted to surprise everybody and do something special, so we didn't even invite Jerry.
Oh, but wait.
Oh, he's... What?
How does he know?
Does he have the room bugged? Seriously.
I am saying this, Jim.
We're doing a podcast.
We're doing a podcast. 23 Jerry Free.
He's not going to believe it.
He isn't.
And you just spoiled it because now we're not Jerry Free because you're on the podcast.
You're ruining the podcast. Get off the phone.
We got to go because we're 23 and Jerry Free. Bye.
He's going, hey, that was
perfect. He really did call.
Yeah,
that was perfect timing.
I want to be your friend.
Okay, somebody else's phone is going to blow up. Yeah, are you really doing a podcast right now? Are you really doing
Nate.
Oh, yeah. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1. There he is. He's like a stalker.
No, this is our guest to all of our loyal listeners. We're going to give you the one podcast bye. And I'm anticipating record numbers of, what do you call them, viewers, listeners?
Subscribers.
Subscribers.
Numbers should be going up.
That's right.
Coincidentally, this is the podcast that has the Nielsen ratings on
the
it.
The Nielsen, we're going
to
shatter records.
We're supposed
here.
To get that information here in about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
We're anticipating big, big numbers.
Well, not only that, Jerry Free, but Carson's here.
Carson.
And that's always an upgrade. That's always a rating.
And I just sit here in silent.
He's trying to follow all of our jokes.
Carson's just eye candy.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Just trying to follow all of our jokes. Keep up with us. Because that's all right. We do at this podcast is make fun of people.
Yeah.
I mean, we're starting out with Jerry.
Yep.
And then we're going to do...
See, that's...
What rhymes with Jerry?
Carson?
Okay, no.
Ryan?
Jerry... I don't know. I can't think of it.
Here's the thing about making fun of people, making fun of things, making fun of anything. The humor that we try to bring to the podcast, we it's by design, obviously, but we like to make fun of ourselves as well. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Jerry is super easy to make fun of. I mean, how could anybody not want to do that when
it's kind of a target?
It's so obvious. You know
it's all in fun.
It's, exactly. Easy. It is all in fun.
The majority of it's in fun.
Yeah. I actually completed the Ironman since the last podcast.
I know. That's what we're going
to
talk about.
You lived to tell about it.
I did live to tell about it, and I am
Your
not.
Your bike didn't, though.
I'm not. My bike. I suffered some,
mechanical
failures.
What happened?
Correct. What happened?
Chain fall off?
No, chain didn't fall off.
Baseball card come out of the spokes.
Yeah, exactly. It came out and got stuck in the wheel.
Yeah, the horn.
Everybody
went
hears
flat.
Me coming.
The horn went flat. Toto jumped out of the basket.
No, I was so slow. There was nobody around me to hear the baseball card in the tire. And that's a legit fact. I swim or die is how I start my triathlon.
That's how they start them, huh?
They start with the swimming. And then I ended up on the bike. I got two flat tires, one at mile 13 and one at mile 28.
That's what you get for running American racers.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, so I had... Then the cool thing about triathlons is, I was going to quit when I got a flat tire. I'm like,
let
okay.
Let me guess,
I
Hoosier guess didn't have any bicycle
I guess
tires.
I'm done. They're I had it in my mind. I had it in my mind that I was quitting, right? So I just sitting on the curb... I got the bike up against the telephone pole, and I'm sitting there, and there's cars going by, and this gal stops, right? She stops.
Flipped her off.
And she goes, do you need something? And I'm like, yeah, telephone. Yeah, because you can't take telephones. You're not supposed to have any type of communication device with you. So I say, yeah, can I borrow your phone? And she's like, sure. And so she gives me her phone. I call Virginia, who is back at I think she was eating lunch, to be quite honest, with some friends of hers. And I said, hey, I got a flat tire. Right. I got a flat tire. I'm done. You want to come get me? She's like, yeah. I said, can you see me on the map? Because you can track us on the map. She tracks me. It's not really worth it but for her, but she does. And so I got flat, and she's like, oh, I'll come get you. I'm like, all right. So I was sitting there still, and literally then here comes this dude on a moped. He's like, yeah, he's like gassing it. and he sees me sitting there, and he stomps on the brake. He turns around, he comes back, and he's got four tires on rims behind him on the back of this moped. And then he's like, what's up? And I said, I got flat. He's like, oh, okay. All right, we'll get it changed. I'm like, really? So he changed my flat tire for me.
But
didn't even charge me for the inner tube. But he changed it. Didn't even say, I said, hey, send me the bill, right? So then after he changes my tire, this took about 35 minutes, which is a long time in from a time.
So
standpoint.
You lost your lead then? Is that what you're saying?
I went from
the second place.
I went from almost last to definitely last. To definitely last, right? So he changes the tire, and I, hey, can I borrow your phone? She's like, he's like, yeah. So he gives me a phone. I call
Virginia.
I thought Virginia.
Phones were
I'm
illegal.
I'm like, I call Virginia. I'm like, hey, I got my tire fixed. I guess I'm going to continue. That's what I told her. She's like, really? Now I'm stuck in traffic. I'm like, well, sorry, babe. So that was it. So I jump on my bike, right? I go another 15 miles and get another flat. So I get a – it's the fat back tire of both times to get, go flat. And so I'm at the aid station at this time, coincidentally enough. I'm at the place where you can stop and go to the bathroom or eat a banana or whatever you need to do, right? So I'm like, well, I ain't going to worry about hurrying too much on this because I passed this guy flat changing – he's literally changing flat tires – every 2 miles. And so I passed him at least twice in the next 15 miles, maybe three times, because he was changing other people's flats. It was pouring down rain when I was doing this, right? And they say when it pours rain, it has a tendency to push stuff onto the road, off the roadways, because you ride on the side of the road. And it caused a lot of flats. And there was just a pile of people getting flats. So I get another one. I'm like, well, I guess I'll wait for him to come. And it was another 30 minutes or so, and he came. It was kind of a nice break. I was talking to the volunteers and stuff and hanging out. And he changed my flat again at mile 28, and then I didn't get another one. And so I rode the rest of the bike, right, and got to the run. And I was like, I don't know what the point is. I think I told Virginia at the time. I was like, yeah, I was going to quit. She's like, you can't quit. And I'm like, all right, fine, I won't quit. So I turned the 3.1-mile run into more of a walk, and I finished.
How long did the bike ride take you from beginning to end?
From beginning to end, it was 4 hours, which is just miserable. Anybody knows anything about triathlon times, that's laughable. I literally almost got last.
I thought that was your strongest part of your triathlon.
Not drowning in the well, swimming was the strongest part.
Maybe because I had rode my bike since the last triathlon I attempted to do, but I had not swam and I had not ran. But
why would you?
Well, I mean, again, I'm the Allen Iverson of
practice.
In your defense, practice, though, your training consisted of an extra Red Bull and Little Debbie snack cakes. That was your entire training. Right.
Pretty much. And the nice thing about it at the aid stations on the run, they provide Red Bull. So I'm like, I'm drinking Red Bull and eating Twinkies. I'm like, hey, this is the best thing ever. What the hell was that?
Oh, I think my insulin's running low.
Oh, jeez. Well, I didn't have to go through that. But anyhow, so that's my I finished. Yeah, got the little plaque. So whatever. I'm going to try again next year. I told myself when I was done, I was like, I ain't doing this ever again. I told that to Virginia. It was just pouring down rain in the swim. Couldn't see a thing.
How long did the whole thing take?
You got wet in the water?
The pros. Yeah, I did get wet in the water.
That's got to suck.
You ever swam in the pouring rain before in a river? It's hard.
I don't swim. I don't go outside in the rain.
You can't see crap.
What about lightning? Any lightning?
There wasn't any of that, or they'd have pulled us out of the water, and I'd have thanked them, but they didn't. So I had to keep continuing.
And you did this.
It was more of a float than it was a swim for me.
But you did this just to prove you could do it, right? Or just for self-satisfaction.
That's why I've done them. I mean, that's the third one I've done, and I've got slower every time I've done it.
You're getting older.
I guess.
You're 50 now.
Yeah.
And a grandfather.
And a grandfather.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's an experience. I'm no quitter.
There you go.
I thought about it, though. I thought about it. I contemplated it quite often.
So what time did you start the triathlon and then finish? You said the bike was 4 hours. How much was the whole thing?
The pros will finish a half triathlon in about 4 hours. Under 4 hours. I think the guy who won it did it in like 3 hours and 45 minutes. And he's running 5-minute miles. That's marathon type pace stuff. After he rode a bike 56 miles and after he swam he swims at like 20. They'll swim 1.2 miles in like 20 minutes, 22 minutes. I swam it in 56 minutes. I was more like a float. You have a 1 hour and 10 minute time limit. And that's my goal. Beat the 1 hour and 10 minute time limit. And then you have, but then I was behind the whole time. And then on the bike, when I got, I had over an hour of flat tires. And so at that point, you know, I'm like, I'm pushing, getting disqualified. I think I made the disqualify. I made it by 20 minutes. I finished in 8 hours.
What about
and anybody knows anything about what I'm talking about is going to laugh at that.
What about using laughable. The phone?
I
you
think
said
I
you
got.
Can't, you can't have phones.
I got passed by a lady in a walker. An elderly lady with a walker during the run. And I was like, she passed me twice. Ran, yeah, motivated her. I hit her.
So this was comparable to your days racing.
Kind of.
Kind of. Yeah. Almost as quick.
So. But there's a lot of conclusions. So, I enjoy everything about it because from the event standpoint, it's kind of cool because you get to see how they operate an event of that magnitude. Because there was a couple thousand people that did it that day, you know. So, but this all the logistics of the event to me are really cool. It really does. I like going to things like this. I like going to concerts. I like going to all kinds of different things. And I like just looking at the back of the scenes stuff, you know, the logistics of it all. Because to me, the Super Nationals aspect of everything comes into my mind. I'm like, oh, look at how they do some cool shit. How come we don't do cool? Can we do cool stuff like that? I mean, I don't know if a triathlon, they have a village where they set up a shop and they set up massage tables and shit you can buy.
Happy ending.
It's not that kind of thing. I'm not going there.
Rub tug.
Good Lord. But anyhow, that's enough about my...
I'm disappointed because there would have been an opinion or a remark that would have come out of that chair.
Come on,
you got to fill in for him.
No, I'm good.
You good?
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's the best you got.
So what else has happened?
The fact that he can do that, and I'm 28, and that would take me three times as long. There's no way that
I'm pretty confident you could probably keep up with me. That's no joke.
I don't know about that.
I did one of those stress tests a few years ago in my late 30s, and they said I had the body of a 53-year-old man. That was probably 8 or 9 years ago.
Oh, that explains a lot.
Is that a compliment?
No, I mean, I can't imagine.
Which 53-year-old man is what I'd be asking? Can I see a picture?
I've got to be in my mid-70s by now. So.
Yeah, no. You're definitely older than a 53-year-old man now, 10 years ago.
What's happened since the last time? I mean, besides the triathlon.
We've had a bunch of races. We have had a bunch of races. You know, we've also crowned officially, I think, made our national championships official. I don't think we had done that on the last podcast.
Any of them change?
Nope.
None of them change. No, I mean, those are always things that are a little bit troubling for us or worrisome, I guess, is the potential for something like that to happen. Because when you have bonus points in particular, if the track championship changes, it takes bonus points away from people. Right. So one race really does can determine the outcome of a national championship. And so we're always
kind of neat about our point structure. Really, if you want to win a national championship, I believe you got to race weekly someplace.
Are you sure that's not Jerry calling you?
No, that's
your insulin level.
That's my insulin.
Yeah, you do. I mean, and we did that by design. You know, there was, if you go back maybe 15 years ago before our bonus points was it put in place, you know, our national championships were just determined by wins. And track championships and track points really didn't matter. And we did see instances of where the guys who were running for national championships, they didn't have any cap on the amount of races they could run. Yeah. And they didn't really have any bonus points tied to track championships. And in doing so, they were just racing for wins. And so you would have guys that would go out the first night of the year, finish last on purpose, lower their point average, then start up front for as much as they could, just strictly racing for wins. And you can't fault the racers for taking
advantage of
the system like
remember
that.
Remember the old show-up point days?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
10 points. It was 5 points for a while. We had a guy that blew an engine. I used to go to West Union on Friday nights, and he blew an engine his opening night. It was a legitimate deal. Never made it out of hot laps, but he got his 5 show-up points. He was on the front row for like 2 months, and he won 9 times out of 10. It was
why we eliminated the show-up points of just 5 points showing up, because we had guys that would show up. They wouldn't even unload their car for hot laps. Yeah. They would sign in. They would get 5 points, and they knew the impact it would have moving into the next dozen or, well, maybe next 2 months worth of races, depending on whether or not they could win or were winning. You know, so you still have to win a lot of races to win our national championship. Obviously, it's still about winning, but it forces the racers into the invert that are running for national championship. You really can't skirt out of it. It makes those, I think it makes those draw redraw shows at times a little bit more valuable potentially to the racer that gets one or two at his track, and that opportunity where he doesn't necessarily have to start 12th, because most of the guys that are winning track championships are starting 10th or 12th
yep.
consistently every week. And there's a lot, we get a lot of criticism over that, or people tend to criticize that. But to me, it still makes for really good racing.
It makes the racing better. It puts a show on for the fans. I mean, yeah. that's what it's all about.
That's what we're here for.
And nobody wants to see a guy start from the pole. I mean, that's why tracks don't do their championship night straight up very much anymore.
They used to still do. Like
we give them the option to.
Yeah. But and many go away from it.
Yeah, we see what happens. Racers, you know, you'll have people that'll complain about the invert, and then the season championship will come, and they'll line them up straight by points, and more racers complained about that.
Yep.
It's like, wait a second, you know, we're not even in the invert. You know, there is no such thing. So I think our system is still about as good as it gets when you look at the amount of divisions that we have and
the amount of racers. The number of tracks and
events. You know, obviously the amount of racers, the amount of divisions, everything comes into play, and to have 9 different classes, thousands of racers, and have it come down to one or two nights of racing at the end of the year. And some of our national championships come down to this, to the very last night. They have in the past.
Sometimes I think we're cursed being so big. Why can't we be like the other sanctioning bodies? We could be.
We could just start changing rules.
That'll do it.
Jim and I are going to get off on a tangent if I'm not careful.
Yep.
I'm trying.
But I think we talked a little bit about
stats. Put egging us on.
Yeah. I don't want to change nothing.
We talked a little bit about stats in our last, I think Ryan did in our last podcast. Again, that was almost a month ago. So
I remember some of them, not all of them.
But again, we want to congratulate all of our national champions, Rodney White, Jordan Grabowski, Mike Nichols, Corey Dumpert, Matthew Loft.
You corrected it before.
Nate Koopman, Justin Clark, Dylan Richards, Dylan Rafferty, and then Shelby Alves. Alves as our Lady Eagle champion, yep. and Mike Smith as our junior national champion. So what an
accomplishment by all of them.
Absolutely. Winning any championship is hard, but winning a national championship is incredible.
The dedication it takes.
Incredibly hard.
You really can't miss a week.
I think 7 of our national champions, this doesn't include the Lady Eagle or the junior, 7 of those were repeat champions, too.
And they made history. I mean, Grabowski was the first 5-time modified champion. Of course, Nichols, 11-time champion. But they face tough competition every week. I mean, it's not that they didn't earn those championships.
No. Yeah, look at the championships that have come out of that Beatrice Speedway in the IMC modified division. When you throw Jordan
Sadoff
and Sadoff into the equation.
Between the two of them. That's crazy.
Yep. I saw a picture of Sadoff. Like, he posted it on his Facebook page. It was maybe last week or a couple weeks ago. He threw up a picture of a race that he won. I think it was a non-IMCA race. It, like, I don't know if it was Delmer's Joint Junction.
Oh, Junction.
I don't know if it was a Junction or where it was, where he had a picture of him and Jordan Grabowski was his crew at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Jordan looked like he was like 12, you know. So, and here you have, now you got Grabowski winning 5 and Sadoff's winning 4.
There's another post that Johnny made with him winning one of the fall races at Beatrice and Jackson holding the trophy.
Oh, cool.
And the trophy's taller than Jackson.
Well, and you know who won at Beatrice last week?
Jackson. Yeah, it's crazy.
Actually schooled him.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't even close. Drove away from Jet and Grabowski, and I mean, there was a field of damn good cars there.
So that apple didn't fall far from the tree.
Those are really cool stories.
I don't know if that's good or bad in Jackson's case.
Yeah, exactly. Those are really cool stories. And there's a lot of that across all IMCA racing and across all IMCA divisions that, you know, I wish we could talk about them all, but, you know, we can't. No. You know, there's so many of them. There's so many cool stories. I think I've said this before in a podcast. There's so many cool stories in IMCA. It's one of the benefits of having so many different divisions and so many different racers and so many different tracks
that
each we have. The cool stuff that happens every weekend, the really positive things that happen, contrary to what they say on Facebook at times, which tends to be focusing on the negative. There are a lot of cool things that people post on Facebook.
And normally it's all bullshit anyway.
That are positive.
That's social media.
Yeah.
Carson, feel free to jump in here anytime.
I'm just listening to the history.
What's in your mug? I gotta know. Are you,
Diet Coke.
Oh, nothing.
Usually fun. It's like Monster energy drink or something.
Yeah, what's up?
And you're pretty tame today.
I haven't had a Monster in like that stuff over a month, probably.
Well, I think he's training for triathlons.
No.
No.
Eat some Little Debbie cakes.
training to do home improvements.
Training's overrated.
Practice.
Who needs practice?
Anyhow, so we had Batteris, we had Batesville ran. Last talked. Abilene had their Southern Challenge.
Correct. Cotton Bowl.
Cotton Bowl had some races.
Yep.
Waco had their 10,000 to win Mod Light race. Yeah. You know, Rafferty won that. You know, again, I think Rafferty.
But doesn't he win?
Yeah, he has won everything.
So good. He is so good.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about Mod Light racing, and it's monopolized by Dylan Rafferty. You know what I mean? I mean, he just has been dominant in everything that
we've thrown at
the division, you know?
Right.
Coming Super up Nationals, Race of Champions, the biggest paying race. He won
his
all
dad's
this year.
Memorial race. He won that 10,000 to win race.
Exactly. Yeah. He's like the king of Mod Light racing right now, really, to be quite honest. You know,
he
and
would
I don't
be the Brett Root of triathlon.
No, he would not. No, I was trying to do a comparison between me and, let's say the Super Nationals. So if I was at the Super Nationals racing in modified, and if you wanted to compare that to my triathlon effort, I would be the guy that missed his heat race every night. I'd be like showing up.
You were there for the tow money. So yeah. Sure.
I'd be like, hey, I'm in heat 12. And they're like, that's on the track.
Damn it.
Nope. Can I get in the back of 13? Yeah.
See you tomorrow. But anyhow, yeah. But yeah, lots of good racing. We still have a few more events. We got some stuff going on down at Phoenix for sure. What the Casa Grande
has a couple shows lined up. A
couple shows in November here. So
then that's pretty much caps it out. I don't know anything else going on.
Then a month or so later, we start it all over again. Yeah.
Well, we have a little small window, and we've talked about this before too. A little small window to start talking about rules for next year. And you know, I don't know if we want to dedicate a podcast specifically to rule discussions. We could actually, you know, it'd be fun if we did our rules meetings live on our podcast.
No, thank you.
Firsthand, I can tell the viewers and the listeners out there, they do not want anything to do with that meeting.
We would probably break the only rule we have for this podcast would be broken if that happened.
There's a couple of things that can't be said that get said during our
meetings. Those are the longest days of my year. I absolutely hate rules meetings.
It's got better over the years, though. Yeah. The process has definitely been fine-tuned with your involvement and with Dave's involvement. You know, Ryan is organized, for those that don't know that, if you haven't figured it out yet. He's pretty organized when it comes to that.
And I don't know shit about cars.
He does not know shit about race cars. So that's good, though. It's good he doesn't offer. Because the more opinions you have on some of these subjects, the more off track it can get. No. In what is essentially the small group of people who are making these decisions at the end of the day.
The more I think about it, the way to probably do it for the rules, I don't know, I'm going to bounce this off Carson. No.
I know where you're going, Jim.
How about votes? How about we let people vote?
No.
Not a good idea.
We're going to have you head that meeting.
Yeah.
No, I'm good. I've been down that road.
The IMCA Promoters Association.
That's right.
And we're going to let everybody vote.
No.
Quick, no. Short, sweet.
I think that stuff always, the voting deal is, again, it's something that we say a lot to us. How come you guys don't do this? How come you don't have votes? Put it to the vote. And we've went through this with obviously internally. We've also went through this with racetrack promoters at times that are saying, well, my racers have voted that, you know, they don't want to do this or they want to do that, you know, and it usually is like, well, my racers have voted and they don't like that rule. And we've decided we're not going to sanction because they don't like that rule. And it's like, okay, well, I understand that, but do the racers get a vote on what it costs to get into the grandstands?
Purse?
Or what it costs to get into the pits?
You're going
to
give them votes.
Or what the purse is?
Vote on everything.
Or what it costs for a hot dog? Or what it costs for a soda at your place? I mean, there's a lot of things that promoters do not let and can't afford to let racers vote on. And the same somewhat applies to IMCA. I mean, at the end of the day, we're responsible for the rules that we put out in front of people. And if we're making bad decisions, it's going to be reflected on on our at the end of the year. And when you look at the volume of racers we've got, the tracks and everything else, we have to be doing something kind of right is the best way to to describe it.
What's,
you know?
What's nice, we've all been around this IMCA for a long time. We kind of know a direction we're all heading. And that direction doesn't change every time that you switch tracks or a driver quits racing. I mean, it's a, you know, when you're writing rules, I think the key is you're not really writing rules for next year. You got to look a little bit more in the future and in address the direction you think everything's going to go. Not with, I think if you get caught writing rules just for the next upcoming year, you're behind the eight ball already.
Correct.
You got to have a long-term plan to get you where you want to go.
We always get the demands of change this, change this, change this. There's always a list, and as little as the list may be or as insignificant as the particular component may be, you always get a list of this little stuff, and then you get the big stuff. Yeah. And you get to where, you know, if we just compiled the list for our sport compact division or Bumblebees or Hornets or whatever they're calling them out there in the world these days, the sport compacts, for example, you can turn a sport compact almost into a late model in a couple of years if you want to try. And we get those recommendations all the time. And we've all experienced it. You go to a race that's got a lot of racers or even not a lot of racers, and you have one racer who says, you know, I think you should do this. And the very next person you talk to says, don't you dare do that.
Well,
you know, so it's tough for us. I mean, consensus is never going to happen here. You know, it never has been a goal. We just try to make smart decisions with the rules.
One of the things that I get the most of that varies from pit to pit is, well, you got to go back to no touching the tires. You know, take away that groove, and it takes me an hour. Then you go to the next pit. Don't you ever take away that groove, and I'm able to get two extra nights out of my tires. And
I'd rather put time into working on my tire versus buying a new one.
Correct.
Well, and everyone's going to be, you know, look out for their own best interest, too. I mean, they're competitive. They want what's best for them.
Correct.
And that's where it's going to come down to when they try to make those recommendations.
You know, and we do listen. I think this podcast is a very good example. We've listened to what the people said and did it without Jerry. So
the Jerry-free 23.
Our gift to you folks.
Did you Snapchat him, Nate? Did you get a reply?
He's
not happy.
That's the best.
Yes. Where's Jerry? Where's Jerry?
Yeah. We need one of those bobbleheads that we can just put.
Right. God, without Jerry in here, I think I've talked more in this podcast than I have about the last 18, 20. Well, that's how it's a little bit worried
because, you know, our podcasts are usually about an hour, 10 minutes. I'm thinking, how the hell are we going to fill an hour's worth of talking?
I could do a driver's meeting.
An hour, not 2.5 days.
Right.
You're going to order lunch in?
See, we don't just make fun of other people or poke fun at other people at our or internally. At our, you know, we poke fun of ourselves too.
A little bit, but it's more fun poking fun of other people.
Oh, that ain't no, yeah. Especially when they can't say anything back.
Yeah, they never do.
No.
I mean, everybody just, you know, the amount of respect we get in this racing industry is just phenomenal. Nobody gives a shit.
Oh, gosh. So, any more stuff on events that we've had lately? I mean, again, Jim and Dave have been at, I think, all the races that I mentioned. You guys were at all of them. Jimmy went to the Mod Light race at Waco. That coincidentally was during the, if I remember correctly, that was during the triathlon weekend for me. I was down there. I was down there. I would like to go out to Heart of Texas.
Preparing for your death, though.
But, yeah, I get really nervous. It reminds me of my racing back when I was racing a race car. You know, on Sunday when we race out here in town, I get up on Sunday. I couldn't eat anything all day. I could not eat. I got anxiety so bad.
100 miles south of you at Cotton Bowl.
Yeah.
That same deal. And I actually got on a plane about the same time you hit the water.
You could have flew around the world.
I was actually home in my chair watching football when I get the text from Virginia. I'm watching Brett. I hope he's not dead. He's not moving right now.
When I called, she said that. I saw you stop. Yeah. I thought it was a heart attack. No.
I hope he's not dead. I don't know if I need to go try to find him or not.
Crash.
That's why she follows you on there, just to know where to send the coroner. That's the only reason.
Quincy.
Crashing a bicycle is not fun when you get that many people around too. I've seen people crash and it's nasty. Ambulances there and everything else. The people, the seekers are usually ahead of me because they're going faster. So I catch up when the ambulance shows up.
So you're faster than the dead guy. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I beat them. Well, those are the few people that I beat are the people that crash their bicycles or get cramps and can't walk. Or
people do this by choice.
Yeah.
Right? I just don't get this.
Yeah. It's for fun, and you pay.
For fun.
Yeah.
You pay.
A triathlon, the entry fees at triathlons are almost like going to the duel anymore. They're pretty freaking expensive.
What'd you get for show-up money?
I didn't get crap.
You didn't get tow money?
I got a. They give you a little hat. It doesn't even say finisher on it because you got to wait to buy that stuff. You have to buy the stuff that says finisher.
Oh, if you complete it, you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Not like an I voted sticker, huh?
They have that stuff online.
But the nice thing about the triathlon, that too, right? Aren't you funny? The nice thing about the triathlon, even though the entry fee is really really high, I don't have to buy a pit pass to be in one area and then buy another pit pass to get to the other area. So the transitions are free.
What about your bike? Can it actually go anywhere?
I would consider the transitions the pit area.
Gotcha.
That's where you put your equipment, right? So you have to go into the pit area twice during a triathlon. So they don't charge you $50
when
you come in there every time. No, they really don't.
Pretty novel.
You get it with your entry fee. It's kind of a fascinating thing. But the entry fee is expensive. It is expensive. They're the upper level of you know, they're the people that are professionals and do it serious. And so it still costs a lot of money to do any sport. I guess that's kind of my point too, racing is expensive, but if you think race cars are expensive, go buy a light bicycle. Oh my God. There's people that drive or ride, I guess would be the better way, but $35,000 bicycles in triathlons.
Oh my.
$35,000.
I'd rather just pay the copay at my doctor's office for her to tell me I'm out of shape than to do that.
Exactly. I'd rather be a 73-year-old man.
I don't need to pay the copay. I can get that one myself.
Yeah. Oh, well. So that's enough about triathlons. We had an issue pop up at one of the races, last weekend maybe, or the other weekend, with an illegal crate.
Oh, last weekend.
Yeah, and so I think it's, people ask this question a lot, you know, oh, everybody's cheating a crate. Not everybody's cheating a crate, but people are cheating them, and people do cheat them, and we do catch them, you know, I mean, so we did catch I think it was a counterfeit sealed one, another one that were,
yeah.
Mark Shipman's making counterfeit seals in Texas. He lives somewhere around Burleson. He likes to sell IMCA cable seals out of his house.
Wait, the ones that can't get caught that he sells?
The ones that he can't get caught. And I just would like to at least warn our racers that we're going to catch you if you got them, because we know what they are.
Pretty easy.
And we've been catching them. So spare yourself the $10,000 fine. Spare yourself having to give us your engine. Just get it fixed correctly if you need it fixed. You know, some of the ones that we've caught a half dozen of them or so, and we usually take them apart. We usually inspect them and try to figure out, okay, why is this going on? And some of the stuff that we're seeing in some of these crates that have been cheated or went to the effort of having counterfeit seals it's trivial to me. It's like, what are we doing here? Why is this happening? If you're not going to make that thing make 600 horsepower or whatever the hell you think you can make it, why are you messing with it? You know, and you know, it's just unfortunate. I hate seeing that happen, because it's a penalty that really, it's our stiffest penalty, and it's one that I would rather not see us experience. But they're still showing up, so yep. We're still going to continue to issue the fines. I'm not going to name any names or anything, but. It's a big
penalty. We already did Mark Shipman.
Well, that's the guy who makes the seals.
Okay. Well, ones that you can't catch that we can catch.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little heads up. There's a little trick in that.
Yeah, it's neither here nor there. We're just going to keep catching them. We'll catch Mark eventually. Life will go on. People say, oh, when are you going to fix all these problems? I don't think these problems ever get fixed.
They've never been fixed
Kind of the, it's kind of the nature of racing.
Absolutely.
Back to triathlons, they cheat in those.
Anything that's a competition, you're always going to have someone trying to get a leg up, not necessarily above board.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. They cheat in those too. They cheat in triathlons.
And for us to think we're going to clean it all up is just not going to happen.
Nope.
You know what? One speaking of rules and speaking of triathlons, since you know, we all have to wear a timing chip in triathlons. And so I was thinking,
what's your chip set at?
It's a timing chip for like, it's like a transponder.
Slow.
You all wear
slow and steady.
So it wasn't 6,200.
There is it tortoise or the hare?
Again, I was just mentioning cheating. There are people who have got caught passing their transponders to other people, skipping loops on the track. You know, because the track, usually the course is somewhat, you go one direction, turn around, and come back. And so there's ways to kind of pass things around and to try to essentially cut the distances short. Instead of riding your bike 56 miles,
kind of you like have to ride fishing
48. Yeah, but they catch people. Everybody has to wear their transponder on their ankle. And so Jim and I talked about this just the other day. You know, we're talking about rules for next year. And probably the one that's on our radar the most is a common transponder location.
Oh, yep. That's a frequently asked question.
Oh, it's probably Jim's correct on this. It's probably our number one question is why don't we have a rule like that? You know, and so we may try to implement something of that nature. For January 1st, where, you know,
every IMCA division just making money and blah, blah, blah.
Where they put the transponder has nothing to do with us making money, you know, unless it was our transponders. They had to buy them from us.
Well, they've got to have a stamp on it.
Can we do that?
Why not? We stamp everything else on a race car. Why can't we do that?
So that's probably the biggest thing is the transponder location. That will be one that is on our radar. When you get into, again, back to the rule stuff, when you get, because we're getting it now, everybody's like, hey, I'm building a new hobby stock. I just got a message today. I'm getting a new hobby stock, you know. Are the rules coming out?
Are you guys going to let quick changes in aftermarket transmissions in the hobby stocks next year?
The rules aren't going to come out tomorrow, which would be the 27th of October. They'll probably come out closer to the 27th of November, which is in about a month. But, you know, people want a little insight, you know, and if we haven't already announced it, it's unlikely, especially on big components, if we haven't already announced it, it's unlikely you're going to see many changes in anything that we're doing. The one thing that I think that bears some conversation, again, only because I know what's going on, and everybody should know this, is you know, the Hoosier National Late Model Tire that they're moving to. You know, Hoosier is and has and does or is making plans to produce one late model tire. I don't know where they get these ideas from. Where did Hoosier get that idea?
That's crazy.
Like to have everybody race the same tire.
It's crazy talk.
Isn't that kind of? It's an interesting concept. Maybe we should try that sometime. But anyhow, so they're going to have a national late model tire with. It's going to have, I think, three compounds: a 20, a 30, and a 40. Is the numbers that I've been told.
I believe so.
You know, and then it'll be up to the sanctions on how we determine what 20, 30, and 40 or where they can be used. If you can use all of them under all circumstances, or if you're limited to a 30 or limited to a 40 or whatever it may be. So that is going on. So our late model guys should have that on their radar. You know, people are going to say, well, why are you changing tires? Well, the reality is for us, if you're going to have late models on racing tires, we have to change because they're not going to make the one that we've got. To my knowledge. So if they're not going to make the WRS2 D55, which is what we've been on for a few years now, we got to go to what the common tire is going to be. There's a little debate out there still on whether the tire can be siped or grooved, which Hoosier is recommending not happen. Do not let anybody alter it other than maybe a light sanding of it. But
once again, this is for late models only.
Yeah, this is late models only. So we'll figure that out. And that's probably the biggest one, I would say, in our whole group of things, besides transponders on locations on everything, and trying to find some commonality in that.
One of the things we got to look at when we're making these rules is what the market can bear. Right. I mean, we're kind of handcuffed a little bit by supply demands and shipping shortages and what have you. You know, we can't make a rule to allow something in if that product does not exist.
No, correct.
So those are all things we got to look at. And
again, our numbers work against us in some situations like this. You know, it's if we were a small sanction that had 40 race cars and you changed to a quick change, you only got 40 quick changes you got to worry about. But when you're talking about in most of our divisions, you know, you've got 1,000+ racers. So when you're changing a component like a quick change or an aftermarket transmission or something big,
yep.
you know, you're talking about a huge supply, generally speaking, in the industry. And if you aren't careful, you're at a rule that people can't actually follow.
Correct.
You know, so I don't anticipate us doing anything really too terribly crazy in any of our divisions when it comes to rules. But for those that are asking, no, we're not going to tell you ahead of time. We'll make it official like we always do somewhere around the banquet time, which is the end of November. Are you ready for the banquet, Ryan?
Oh.
Get your speech ready?
Come on.
My speech?
Yeah.
The script?
Yeah.
Not yet.
How many pages is that?
About 20.
Who are you doing it with this year?
Carson.
No.
Carson, MCing?
I'm not doing it. No. Nope.
Congratulations. I think you'll do a great job.
I think he's good. I think we should vote.
Right now.
No, that's not part of my job description.
All in favor of Carson emceeing the banquet?
That likes to vote on stuff.
Raise your hand.
Raise your hand.
I'm sure.
Oh, come on, Ryan. Man. I thought you were on my side.
You're in. Nate, see how voting works?
That even Nate's in.
Nate even raises his hand.
God, I wish Jerry was here so we can get his opinion.
That is how voting works. Tough shit, Carson.
Nope. I quit. I'm going home.
You got more contingencies to fill out.
Yes, I do. Speaking of that, I'm over $200,000 in certificates. I'm not through.
And you're only in the L's.
That's a lot of paper. That's a lot of paper you're showing.
I am only in the L's for sponsors.
Yeah,
have
we actually finished the Super Nationals contingencies? I think we have.
You haven't mailed out those other ones that you're supposed to for me like 2 weeks ago.
That's my fault?
You said email me the list. I will ship them out.
I think I got all of them done, but like four.
Like six.
Six. All right. So there's some product here that needs to get mailed out from Super Nationals that I did forget about because it wasn't in my office. So we should get that stuff out. It's not very much. But then we have the issue with all of the, again, not having the dang the driver intros because of the rain on Saturday Night Super Nationals. We have all of a good portion of the stock car. Moonshine bottles.
Yeah, about half of them.
Yeah. And so we've got them all labeled, and we know whose is who, and we look at them like, oh, where are we going to see this guy next or this guy next? And so I don't know.
I'd be able to unload some of those in Lincoln.
Yep. Yes, exactly. To the stock car racers who made the A-Main at the Super Nationals and didn't get their methanol moonshine, we have it. We have your name on it. If you're going to be at the banquet, we'll probably bring it. If you're not going to be at the banquet, we may try to
probably
time it.
Probably just drink it.
Yeah, we may try to time it with a track visit or something. Have it. We are gonna slushies right back there's the machine.
Yeah.
We will try to get them. We do have them. We have to get them to the stock car racers. So, but the modified ones, I believe, they got all theirs. We had a couple, I think, that didn't get done at the event, but we got them to the racers now. So we're down to just the stock cars and a handful of hard products or products that need to be mailed out, and we'll be done with Super Nationals right into the year end stuff,
to the national stuff.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's a lot.
That's good.
A lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff.
And guess what? We'll probably grow next year.
Hopefully.
We can't thank all of the sponsors. Well, we have 100. We've always had right around 100 contingency sponsors at IMCA that do thousands of dollars worth of product certificates to IMCA racers during the season, after the season. You know, so we can't thank them enough for all of their effort and what they're doing for the racers.
Your plans are to go to PRI this year and drum up some more.
Hopefully, yeah. Setting meetings and figuring out how to improve the ones that we have. Work with them to get more
very important
product to more people in each division. So.
I think we sent out an email last or maybe this week about registration for PRI if you're an IMCA member.
They went to some sort of a membership or some sort of a registration process for PRI, and I don't know if you have to pay to get in.
Yeah,
is it like $40 or something?
I think
like that.
Yeah, 40
it's
for like the week.
That, yeah, 40 or 45.
Yeah, but we are going to display at PRI. We have for many years. We didn't when they did the pandemic. When the pandemic, obviously, but we did last year, and we are planning to again this year. We'll be probably in the same booth. 3709 is the booth number we've had for many, many years, which is right inside the front door, right beside Speedway, right inside one of the convention hall front doors, because there's two of them, right beside Speedway. So we plan on participating. We'll all be there is the game plan at this point. Even Nate from IMCA TV is going to be there.
Nate?
So, but this time of year, once the racing, obviously, Casa Grande is going to be about the end of the racing season for us. But then, you know, obviously, we've got a bunch of banquets, bunch of track banquets. We got our national banquet and a bunch of auctions, trade shows.
Correct.
I don't know.
Promoter meetings.
Swap meets. Yep. They call them all different things. But, yeah, we attend WARPA. I think we're going to head up to WARPA out on the in the northwest. We'll be at Reno for the RPM workshops, Daytona for the RPM workshops, PRI in Indianapolis.
Funny, you know, you get it a lot. Well, what do you guys do now that racing's over? You don't have anything to do. Nah, not so much.
I think Jim likes being on the road.
Not so much.
No, he's gonna say
he always
no,
says but no, but he's always says no. On the road.
Hey, I think I got to go to China tomorrow. Like, really, Jim, do you have to go to
China?
You're
going somewhere tomorrow, aren't you? You on the road this weekend?
Yeah, but that's not for work.
Oh
yeah,
that's not for work.
I stand corrected.
I'll be on the road, but not for work. Unless we got stuff to do at the Sabres Canadian game tomorrow night. We got any meetings set up?
No.
Just
wear your IMCA shirt. See if you can get on TV again, like Monday Night Raw. You did that.
Seats will get us on.
So you're going to Buffalo, I assume, not Montreal.
Buffalo. Okay. Then to Utica, then to the Syracuse Notre Dame game.
So back to our banquet real quick. Again, you know, anybody who's a recognized IMCA champion in all of our divisions, I signed all the letters yesterday. Actually, it was the day before, I think.
A bulk of them went out in the mail yesterday, and the rest will probably go out today.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, what, 700-800 letters or whatever. Lot. It's a bunch. It's a bunch of signatures that I signed, and you know, I can't thank Bill and Virginia.
No stamp on that.
I don't signed stamp
every one of them.
There you go.
I don't stamp them.
The personal touch.
It's I like sign every one cards. Of them. You know, I try to. I don't write that them
again this year.
What?
I said just like the Christmas cards.
Yeah.
We sign all those.
We do. We try to. I mean, it's again, to me, it's personal. It's like contingencies from Carson or. Anything that we're doing here. I mean, again, our numbers hurt us in a little bit because we can't get to know everybody.
I sign all the fine letters.
You do. Those people usually call you, too.
They do. Yeah. Some put them on social media.
They do.
Record us and put it on social media.
So everybody who's a champion, state champion, state champions, track champions, series champions, national champions, regional champions, rookie of the year, anybody that we it gets a letter, obviously, is invited to the banquet. I don't think we sent out the banquet invitations just yet, but did they go out in the letters? I don't think they do. I think they go separate.
To the driver mailers had their banquet ticket reservation thing on there. That was in there with.
Yeah. There you go. Those are the individuals that we invite to the banquet. And we usually have about 600 people at our banquet. That is the capacity that the convention. Does
Carson know he's got to be in a tux for the banquet?
Oh, yeah. I got measured.
Well, if he's going to be the MC, you have to wear a tux.
Nope. That's right.
I mean, come on.
I will not
all MC. In favor of Carson being the MC at the banquet?
You're not going to go up there and talk with me?
Nope.
Still unanimous.
You got it.
I'm not going to do it by myself.
You and Jerry.
Who?
Jerry.
Jerry who?
But we're going to do, at our banquet again, we're going to do a podcast. We're going to do the Champions Reception over at the Museum of American Speed.
Oh, that sounds fun.
We're going to do a live podcast for that, I believe, is what Nate has planned. Nate's going to be there.
Oh, nice.
So we'll probably set up something similar, and we're just going to probably roll as long as we can during that Champions Reception, interviewing racers that are there. We're not going to do. We'll broadcast our banquet live the next night, but we're not going to do any interviews out in the atrium or anything like that this year.
Yeah, so we'll have
since some. Carson is not going to MC.
Well, maybe
and we have to have Jerry.
I don't think he's.
See what you're putting us into.
Carson? I understand, but you that's not in my job description.
Hey, we weren't going to say that
Jerry to be our MC.
there goes our banquet pre-sales.
Yeah.
You're going to make me stand next
maybe
to him.
Maybe our banquet Lincoln attendance won't be as well now that people know Jerry's going to be the MC. What do you think? Hey, did we do the Nielsen ratings
draw
in
a crowd.
Yet?
Not quite. We're about 10 minutes away. Yeah. But
we'll anybody who's a champion is invited to the Champions Reception.
At Speedway.
At Speedway on Friday night. Really cool
that
place.
Makes the whole weekend
setting.
Worthwhile.
It really does. It's a really cool setting. We'll do a podcast there live. We'll all participate in that, I imagine, including Jerry.
Carson, you going to speak at that?
Well, maybe. Depends how much history we go into the stuff from before I was born at IMCA. I don't remember that stuff.
History?
All you guys do is talk stats, and I'm like, man, what happened at 89? I don't know what happened.
We could always, talk. You're like a legend national champion. Is that right? INEX legend?
You're an INEX legend national champion?
Yep. He is.
He's just a legend.
Yep. We employ a national champion.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Long time ago.
See, you're talking history again. Yeah, you don't want to talk history.
We learned something new about Carson every time.
He's a winner, huh?
So I guess
we're already better than the dude that normally sits in that chair then, huh?
So when you race INEX, do you have to buy the car from them?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have to buy the wheels from them?
Yes.
Really?
Tires.
Tires?
Yes.
Shocks?
Yes.
Bodies?
Yes.
Bumpers?
Yes.
Seat?
No.
Oh, you get to get your own seat.
Yep. Yeah,
they don't spec everything like us.
So they're just out to make money? Is that what you're going to
do? Engine, yep.
Good God.
That's a novel concept. We're going to look into it.
People think we're bad. We aren't that bad, right?
No.
Right.
We're the friendly sanctioning body.
And when you crash your car, you have to fix it.
With new parts.
From
INEX.
Now, don't you have to actually have the car repaired from a...
Kind of.
Do they let anybody fix them?
The dealers pretty much are the only ones that have the stuff. So
there you go.
I like how you're encouraging him to finish your sentences.
I've heard these things. I'm like, whoa. Whoa. So imagine if you're racing an IMCA modified and you have to fix the chassis at some place we tell you to fix it.
Then we stamp it.
Yeah.
I mean, we do that with crate engines.
Log chain and a big tree.
And they still manage to cheat them. But anyhow.
We'll never get the cheating out of racing.
We won't.
Nope.
Since the days when Ron Flynn was racing chariots, they found ways to cheat. Ron had a birthday.
Another last one? Week.
Well, you know, there's two meetings I try
to attend. Every time we go to dinner, he has a birthday.
There's two meetings I try to attend up in Michigan. Michigan Promoters Association has a fall and a spring meeting, and it just so happens they both fall on Ron's birthday.
And Daytona RPM.
Yeah, Daytona's RPM.
Also falls on
his birthday. 2 birthdays a year, he's got to be like 190. Oh, well. How are we on time, Nate?
I got to go here in a minute.
Where are you going, Ryan?
I've got an appointment.
What's your appointment?
Yeah.
You really want to know?
Yeah.
My annual checkup at my doctor. It's finger in the butt day.
Ooh, boy. Better you than me.
You can go and place them if you like.
Wait, is that a coincidence? Jerry's not here. Oh, finger in the butt day.
Big finger or little finger? Never mind. I don't want to know the answer to that question.
Oh, God.
My doctor, she has small fingers, so it's all right.
I'm 50, as you mentioned earlier, so I have to do one of those things. Colonoscopy. I have to do that.
You've never had one of those before?
I've never had that.
I've had those. The preparation is much worse than the procedure.
Drinking the shit and shitting.
Yeah, you need to be anchored to a toilet, and it's brutal.
Yeah, but they put you out.
They do for the procedure.
Yeah. That's a good feeling.
The procedure. You wake up, you're like, where was I? Or that's when you say things you don't realize you say.
Oh, yeah, I made that mistake once. Yeah,
I've done that before.
Yeah, exactly.
Taking a phone to the recovery room and trying to answer a Rue's question.
Really? You did that?
I experienced this once with my wife. She got her wisdom teeth pulled out, right? And so they put her in laughing gas or whatever and pulled all four of her teeth out. And she was laying there in the recovery room, and she was just saying all kinds of weird stuff and stuff about, like, where are my socks? You know, I mean, just, like, what? I'm like, they're on your feet. You know, it's just weird stuff. But I think Jim said worse things like that when he was under laughing gas, but we won't talk about those things.
No, we're going to pass on that.
We're not going to make fun of him on that subject.
Oh, there are lines we don't cross.
Yeah, so there are.
We can't say that word, and we can't make fun of Jim when he's under anesthesia.
That's right. I'm in a safe zone then.
So when's Jerry back in the state?
I think in 2020. I think he's eligible for parole
24
in 18 months, and then with good behavior, he should be out within 22 months.
Is he in Arizona for a while?
Like a week, I thought.
I thought it was just a week or so. Wait, I think he goes.
Here it is. We have just surpassed Call Her Daddy on podcast. We are approaching Joe Rogan right now.
Oh, boy.
And Ryan has to go prepare.
Yep, I got to go get ready to go to the doctor.
Dude wipes.
Dude wipes.
Haven't you ever watched Shark Tank? I mean, that was a Shark Tank product. Dude wipes. Like, wow. It's like baby wipes for boys or men.
Oh, shoot. Come on, Carson. You got to add something to this conversation.
I'm kind of glad Jerry isn't here for this conversation.
Yeah, we do. So miss, are we listeners. We do miss Jerry a little bit. He'll be back for the 24th podcast. Not sure when we're going to do that, but 24 episodes of fun.
That's right. That's right.
Pretty good.
But
yeah,
Carson, take us home.
Anything else?
Take
what's on your agenda?
I'm out. I have. Wow. On my agenda, I do not have one comment that says make fun of another sanction.
Can we, though?
Or make fun of somebody that's not in the room besides Jerry.
Oh,
that's why I don't want to go to my doctor either, because I'm afraid once I leave.
Go ahead, leave Ryan.
We're going to tell some butt jokes. Better you than me, like I said.
You're always safe being in here, as Carson knows.
Yes.
Yeah, safer. For sure.
Then you can defend yourself at least.
Are you waiting for me to leave?
You can at least deny. No.
Goodbye.
No.
I'll leave.
No,
we're going to end this podcast with Ryan's butt.
No, we're not.
No. What? Podcast? No. It's a Jerry Free 23.
23. We're Jerry Free.
I'll be a two dozen next time.
Merry Christmas
to all our listeners and viewers.
Yes, exactly.
A gift to you.
Happy Halloween.
And
you're welcome for all the thank yous we get.
That's right.
For not having Jerry present, but
and you know we'll give Ryan's
colonoscopy update.
I'm not having 24.
Next one.
I'm not having a colonoscopy.
Oh, we're gonna give Ryan's finger in the butt update on episode.
I'm
24.
Sure I'll have to turn and cough too. Turn my head.
You know what I'm hoping? I'm hoping your regular doctor's sick today or something. Yeah.
Some big dude with big hands.
Big hands, you know you're the one.
It's a song.
It's a song.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's getting warm in here.
Here's my finger. We got to get out of this podcast. Yeah. It's going south quick.
You're number one.
Isn't
Ryan.
That when you see both hands on the side of the exam table? That's not a finger.
It's like the MRIs or the emergency room photos you see on the funny photos of people that have things like caught. Haven't you ever seen those?
Yes, I've seen them. That has nothing to do with my appointment.
Not necessarily there.
No.
You know, but like with a person with scissors stuck in the side of their head or something weird
nothing,
like that.
Nothing better than
a nail through their hand. It's like, oh, gosh, that has to hurt. And a bottle up your, never mind.
No.
I don't know if an MRI would see that. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thank everybody for listening.
Well, we have another one before the banquet. Yeah, we got the banquets a month away.
We'll probably try to do one when Jerry gets back to town. Invite him back into the club.
He served his suspension.
He has. Yeah. He's got to pay his fine.
He was making fun of people, and we just don't do that on this podcast. Yeah. So we had to give him a week off, an episode off.
Well, that'll wrap it up. We'll call it a day on episode 23. I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank Carson and Jim for making the trip, and thank Jerry for being out of town. We'll see you next episode.